Well, the spirit can be a serious thing. I know people. Matter of fact, I sat across the table from a guy one time, and he took at least 3 to 4 hours and explained how he entered the physical world. He would actually leave his body and go into the physical world where he'd meet up with his dad. And his dad had heavy mental problems. He would actually meet up with his... I never believed this. But when this guy got done talking, I said, I believe it. It was... I mean, he... He made it sound so real, I couldn't help but believe it. And I've seen situations since then where I know people have entered into the spiritual world. And the more you talk about spiritual things and the more you get too close to it, it can drag you right into the spiritual world. Anyways, what I want to do is get my notes here. Talk a little bit about that spirit. There are good spirits. And they're bad spirits. So I believe oftentimes those things that drag people like the guy I'm speaking of, those spirits are evil spirits. But what I want to do is look at a couple scripture to prove that there is a spirit. The Bible talks about it. Can you all see that? Okay, I want to go to Acts chapter 23. We're going to look at verse 28. Acts 23 and verse number 8. Here we have two groups of people. They were both leaderships in back in those days. One of them, they call them the Pharisees. The other group was named the Sadducees. The Pharisees were kind of like the church overseers. The Sadducees were kind of the government overseers, but they were both spiritual people. They had a disagreement. Verse number 8, Acts 23 verse 8. Somebody go ahead and read that and tell me what was the disagreement and who was right, who was wrong. Chapter 23 verse 8.
For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both.
Okay, what did the Sadducees believe?
That there's no resurrection.
They did not believe in a resurrection. When you're dead, that's the end of it. That's the end of it. No more. Just like a dead horse, you go back to dust, and that's the end of it. Neither did they believe in the spirit. They did not think that anybody had a spirit. But the Pharisees, on the other hand, said there's a spirit and there's a resurrection. At least they believed in that. Now, let's look at some other scriptures here. In Job, you don't have to turn there. I got the scripture there for there. Job says, but there is a spirit in man. He believed it. Ecclesiastes. Solomon said in chapter 12, verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth. Now you can pinch yourself this morning, and what you're pinching, really what you're touching, is not anything else but dust. That's what we're made of, is dust. So he was right when he says, this dust is going to return to earth, as it was. But he says, but the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Paul believed in the Spirit. He said, remember that? They had some trouble in the Corinthian church here again. He said, to deliver such a one, this man that was causing problems, deliver him unto Satan for the what?
Destruction
of the flesh. It's important that we understand that. The flesh. There's more than one part of man. Deliver him to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Isaiah believed in the spirit. He said, with my soul. See, it's not talking about the spirit there, but he's talking about his soul that we studied a couple weeks ago. With my soul have I desired thee in the night, yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. Here again, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my what? And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, understand that the ghost and spirit is the same thing. One more here. We've studied this all the way through here, but here we read about the body, the soul, and the spirit. Let's read that. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, Paul says, and I pray God your whole, say it with me, spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are three parts, and it's important to me at least to know, why do we have three parts? Does each one do different things? Yes, they do, absolutely. Just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are one. We call it God. Three in one. But each one does different things. For instance, the Father is the Father of the children, the family of God. He's the Father that rules over the family of God. If we go to John chapter 1, we read that Jesus is the Word. He's the Word that goes out, and through Him we go to the Father. The Holy Spirit is the power. It's where the power, the moving power, the force comes from, is from the Holy Spirit. What do you see different in these two verses? I'm just going to give you a couple moments here, and you should see that obviously, but there's a difference in those two verses as far as the Spirit goes. Can anybody tell me what the difference is? Notice how the first one is a small spirit. Paul says, I had no rest in my spirit. He's talking about his very own, because I found not Titus, my brother. He was looking for Titus. He couldn't find him. And he says, I didn't have any rest in my spirit. But now we go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We talk about a different spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Notice the capitalized S. If you go throughout the Old and the New Testament and you do research on spirits, you will always find that the Spirit of God is capitalized. If it's not capitalized, it's either talking about your very own spirit, or it's talking about an evil spirit, which we're going to look at. There's all kinds of spirits. I went through the Bible and just checked, and I was just totally amazed at all the different kinds of spirits, good spirits and bad spirits that there are in the Bible. 1 John 4:2 says, hereby know you the capitalized Spirit of God. How? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now I'm going to stop there for a moment, and I'm going to turn to my notes here. And I want you to help, just to help you understand, I'm going to need somebody to come up and help me here. Who wants to come? Reuben, you want to come up and help me? I really want you to get this, and I experimented with this yesterday, so I know it works. These are my wife's nice glasses, and this just happens to be the oil out of my garage. And where's my picture here? So that you understand what we're talking about, I think this will help you. We talked about the glove and the hand, right? The glove is the body, but the hand is the real you, the soul that makes the body tick. It makes the glove move and do things. But without the hand and the glove, it's dead. Someday when we die physically, the soul will leave us and the body will be dead. And there's no life left in it. It will be completely and totally dead. Now today we're going to talk about the third part, the spirit. And in order for you to understand that, I'm going to have Reuben hold that glass up so everybody can see. Maybe come over here towards the center a little bit. We're going to say that the glass represents your body. It represents our body. It's the outward part. You can see it. You can touch it. And it's very much there. Then we're going to say that before I do this, I'm going to get the oil, and I'm going to say that this oil represents the soul. It represents your soul and my soul, okay? The soul is invisible, but we know it's there. It's inside the body. It makes the body tick. So we will pour the oil into the cup, okay? Now, there is the soul. What is the glass representing? What is the oil representing? The soul. Okay, now here we have water. Water is going to represent the spirit. Okay, it's also inside the body. You can't see it. It's invisible. But what happens is I pour the water into the oil. Watch. Give it just a moment there. See what happens? It separates itself. That's what I want you to see. When I look at that glass, I say, ooh, there's a glass. And it's got stuff in it. But what I'm really saying is I see a glass with a soul and a spirit inside of it. That makes up you, the body, the spirit, and the soul. Now, Rupen, you can just actually just go back to your seat for a moment, and I just want to talk about these things. Do you realize that it doesn't mix? The spirit is all spirit. The soul is all soul. The body is all glass. Although they're three in one. Now, if for some reason, well, let me say this. Do you see how the water supports the water? It just automatically gathers together and it supports itself. The oil supports itself too. It goes to its own place. It very much supports itself, but they're one. Now, let me read my notes here. What I wanted to do is just pour a little bit more oil in here. This thing's dirty. And watch what happens when I pour more oil into it. It goes right back to the oil, right? So the reason I wanted to point that out is that soul mixes with soul and spirit with spirit. And remember that as we go through the rest of our lesson here. Now, is there a difference between the soul and the spirit? Is there a difference? Yes. What's the difference?
Color.
Okay, color. Let's and you're correct. Give him 100 points. Now, what else is different? Okay, what are some things that are the same about the soul and the spirit? Now, I'll either confuse you with this or we'll all learn something today.
They're liquid.
Okay, they're both liquid.
They work together.
What else is there about, let's not look at this now. Okay, they're separate. The soul and the spirit, what else do they have in common?
You can't see them.
Both of them are invisible, yet we know they're there. If you're alive today, then we know it's there because your soul must be in there. Now, the spirit of man is described in a couple different ways. In one way, it says the dictionary explains the spirit of man as the will of man. It's the will. Somebody explain that to me. What is the will of man?
Flesh.
Your flesh? Okay, if somebody has a will to do something, they will go out and do what they want to do, right? Or it's the power, the force behind that man to do. And the Bible says, makes it even more clear. It says in Proverbs 23, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that's a strong statement. Because my question to you and myself this morning is, what goes through our mind? What do we think about? Because so are we. I've heard people really come out at the wrong time. You know, people you really thought were good, great Christians, and all of a sudden there's some conflict, and the real person comes out, and you say, whoa, where'd that come from? I don't think those things come out of accident. I think it's something that's always been in there, and it's the real you coming out. It's the real me coming out. Now, Jesus tried to explain the Spirit. Let's go to John chapter 3. We're going to come back to the oil and the water. Jesus tried to explain the Spirit a little bit better in John chapter 3. He says, the Spirit is invisible in sight, but you can see it in action. It's invisible by sight, but you can see it in action. John chapter 3, verse 8. Somebody go ahead and read that verse. He's explaining how the Spirit works.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Okay, what he was really saying was that when you look out and you try to see the wind, you cannot see it. It is invisible to the eye. But as soon as you can land your eyeballs on a tree, watch that treetop. And all of a sudden you see that treetop swaying back and forth. And you know that there's some kind of a force out there. And he said, that's exactly the way the Spirit is. You can't see it, but it's the power that is behind you. You can see it in action. That was my intro to the message. Now we're going to get into the message. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and let's look at verse number 26. The intro will be about as long as the message. Genesis chapter 1, because a very sad thing happened in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verse number 26. It says, Genesis 1 verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man. Now see that, let us. Who is he talking about? He did not say let me, but he said let us. You realize that the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, and the Father, all three together, decided that we wanted to make man in our own image, after our likeness. He said, we're going to make man in our own image. What in the world does he mean when he said, in our own image? What is he talking about there? How would you say he would, what would you say he was talking about there? Okay, that's probably true. He made us in three parts, just like they were in three parts. He built us the same way. What kind of image comes to your mind when you think of God? What kind of image comes to your mind?
A person
who is what?
A man.
Okay, do you think he's the figure of a man? Or do you think that was just that way when Jesus entered the physical world? Do you think that God rules up in a physical being, like legs and hands and eyeballs and all of that?
No.
You don't think he does?
No, because Jesus had to take on a body so we could see him on earth.
I agree with Joyce. So what does Jesus look like?
Jesus or God?
God.
His Spirit.
His Spirit, mm-hmm. Right? He is invisible. And so it says that he made us in the image of himself. He placed within us something like the Spirit, called the Spirit, because he wanted to communicate with us. And we will see this more. Let's jump down in verse number 8. Genesis 2, verse number 8. Here we will see that in verse number 8 that God planted a garden. He says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden. This tree of life is in heaven now, but at this point it was planted in the Garden of Eden. And then he planted another tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of good, of knowledge of good and evil. Two special trees that were in the garden. The one we want to concentrate on is the last one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because let's jump down to verse number 16. It says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. And listen to these words, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now we have to understand that up until this point, God and Adam moved around in the garden and they communicated with each other. They had fellowship with one another. They talked to one another. And he said, Adam, I want you to name all the animals and all the fish and all the fowls, and I want you to take care of this garden that I put you in. So there was all kinds of communication going on. And you know what? Nobody knows just exactly how long this lasted. It could have lasted 50 years before Adam sinned and disobeyed and rebelled. It could have lasted a million years. Nobody knows. It doesn't tell us. It's not important either. But then we know that Adam and Eve went and rebelled against God when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What happened to them? Did they die? Did they die right away? Physically, no. Because let's go to Genesis chapter 5 and let's look at verse 5. Somebody go ahead and read that. Tells us how old Adam was when he died. Genesis 5:5.
In all the days that Adam lived were 930 years and he died.
He lived 930 years from that point on before he died. Now, what in the world did God mean when he said, on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou wilt surely die? And Bob, you said it somewhat. He didn't die physically on that day, but he died spiritually. What in the world did it mean that he died spiritually? What did that mean? What part of Adam died?
It's the water.
The water. Okay, so he dropped down and he became glass and oil, right? That spiritual part there that he had before was now gone. Now, let's jump to Romans chapter 5, verse 12. And let's see what happened here. After Adam rebelled and he got kicked out of the garden, he passed something on. Romans chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, then Romans. Matthew 5, and look at verse number 12. Somebody read that for us.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Who is the one man that it's talking about?
Adam.
Adam became the doorway for sin to enter into the world. And not only did it enter upon Adam, but he began to have children. He had Cain and Abel. What happened between them? Cain killed Abel. Sin automatically got passed on. And when Cain had a family, and guess what happened? He continued to pass spiritual death right on, or sin. He continued to pass sin right on down the line. And here we are 6,000 years ago. And you know what? When we had Jonathan and Rachel, I automatically passed sin on to them. We're automatically sinners. Let's look at that verse again. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and so death, spiritual death by sin, spiritual and physical death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now let's go to John chapter 4. What does this do between my relationship with God? If I am automatically walking around with death sentence on me because I've sinned, what does this do between me and my God? Well, obviously, it ruins my relationship. And here we see that the Father is seeking to once again have a relationship with His creation. John chapter 4, verse 23 and verse 24. It says here Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and He's talking about this everlasting water that He can give to you, and if you have it, you will never thirst again. But we see here, before I say this, the woman said, hey, you know, us Samaritans, we don't have a place to worship. You choose, you have the temple, you all gather over there, but we don't really have a temple. And where would you suggest that we meet at to worship God? And Jesus tells her in verse 23, He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in what? In spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, I just want to go back to this cup, because when we got saved, where's my picture at? When we got saved, we're going to say that this is God and this is us. And in some sense, we were kind of like this. Well, I don't know if I want to do that. Yeah, I can. In some sense, when we spiritually died, this is what we looked like, right there. There was no spirit in us. We had a soul, but spiritually speaking, we were dead. Our spirit was dead. And so here you have God in the spirit, and here you have us without a spirit. How are we going to communicate? We can't. We can't. That's when later we will see that we have to be born again. When we are born again, then our spirit comes back to life. And once again, we have a spirit. It's that third part of man that God the Spirit communicates with. Up until this point, God cannot communicate with us. Okay, hope that makes sense to you. Let's go to John chapter 3 and look at that scripture, the new birth. I want to remind you that this new birth does not happen because you got so good one day that God said, well, I'm so impressed with that Donnie down there. Let's go down and save him and let's resurrect his spirit. That did not happen. Neither did he come to Susie and say, or to his people up there, and he said, that's Susie down there. She was born into a good family. You know that Levi, he's top notch. We've known him for years, and just because Susie got lucky and got born into his family, we're going to go ahead and resurrect her spirit too. It didn't happen that way. Let's look here in chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse number 1. And I'm going to read the first six verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher that's come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, look at Jesus' answers. He gets right to the point. He says, verily, verily, or what he's saying is, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is no different than any one of us, because look at his next question, verse number 4. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Thinking of himself here, probably 60 years old, he says, how in the world can I be reborn? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now here's the verse that I really want us to get. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Talking about the physical birth. That which is physical is physical. That which is glass is glass. That which is soul is soul. That which is spirit is spirit. But he's saying here, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now we're going to go back to our PowerPoint and look at a couple more scriptures here. How in the world can a person be born again? In order to see the kingdom of God, there has to be two birthdays. If you don't have two birthdays, then you are still unborn the second time. And a lot of times, and I've been wanting to do this for Bob and Chris and Joel and maybe Katie over here and some of the other ones who have made a salvation decision, I think it's always great to write out a birth certificate. Because I know a guy, his name's Albert, was Amish about 20 years ago. Some old farmer came by and started to share the gospel with him, and before that their time was up, Albert bowed his head and received Christ as his Savior. And a little bit later he left the Amish, he went to college for 4 years, and he's a pastor out in Kansas right now. But what he does, every August 10th he will pick up the phone and he will call Francis Bartley. And he will just celebrate over the phone what happened on August the 10th. And that is important. We should celebrate our second birthday. In order to see the kingdom of God, it says in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. It's talking about the flesh, the physical birth, but of incorruptible. Here it is. The incorruptible is by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The second birth comes about through the word of God. John chapter 11, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the spiritual life. He that believeth in me, though he were spiritually dead, yet shall he spiritually live. And whosoever spiritually liveth and believeth in me shall never spiritually die. Believest thou this? This is a powerful scripture. But when it's talking about the life and the life here and liveth and all of that and death, it's talking about spiritual. Because it says right here, for whosoever spiritually liveth and believeth in me shall never spiritually die. John 5:24, here's another powerful scripture. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting spiritual life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from spiritual death unto life. What do you have to do to come to this point? What part of this?
Belief,
right here. Belief. It's not even baptism. It's not even good works. It's nothing more than believing. But there's two kinds of beliefs. If I ask you, do you believe that George Washington was the president of the United States, the first president, you'll say, sure. Why do you believe that? Because the history books tells us that. Okay? But you weren't there. How do you know he was the first president? Because the history books tells us that. Okay, on this hand we say, do you believe that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins and that he was the Son of God? Yes, I believe that. Were you there? No, but the Bible tells us. Okay, so you believe in George Washington and you believe in Jesus Christ. But here's the big question. Do you believe in them the same way? And the answer is no. You believe in them differently. With George Washington, you believe in your head that he was the first president of the United States. With Jesus Christ, first you believe in your head, and then it goes to your heart. That is where it's a different belief. When you do that, you will receive everlasting life, and you will pass from death to life. The prodigal son, remember him when he came back? After he had lived with the hogs for a while, Luke 15:24, for this my son was spiritually dead and is spiritually alive again. He was spiritually lost and is spiritually found, and they began to be merry. Okay, now, let's see where we're at here. My question to you this morning is, are you born again? Has your spirit been resurrected? Are you alive? I mean, are you spiritually alive? Is God able to communicate with you this morning? Do you have water in your body? Or are you still without a resurrected spirit? You know what? Today, right where you're sitting, you can have that spirit resurrected. And you will know when that happens, because the Bible says that when we believe and receive Christ as our Savior, we will become a brand new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I would like to just bow our heads just for a second, close our eyes. Let's look deep within our hearts, and let's be honest. Nobody's looking around. Maybe someone in this room today would say, Joe, I don't remember of a day when I was born again. And I would just like for you to pray for me. I don't remember of a day when I was born again. Would you pray for me? Would you lift your hand? Thank you for that hand. Is there someone else in this room right now that would be honest with this other person, say, if I died right now, I don't know that I'm born again. I don't know that I have Jesus in my life, but I would like to have. Here's my hand. Anyone else like that? Lord, I just want to thank you this morning for this honest hand. And Lord, I pray now that you would allow me to have time with this person afterwards and talk to him about how he can know for sure that he has Jesus in his heart. Bless the rest of our time together, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now what I want to do, are we going to sing a song? We're going to sing a song, but I want you just to, for a moment, I want you to see a little bit what the spiritual world looks like. There are more than two types of spirits. There are more, what I'm saying is, there's more than spirit of man and spirit of God. There are other spirits. Here's the proof. These are the evil spirits. Let's look, this is what the Bible lists. Oops, did I get too far? There we go. We can read about the spirit of anguish, the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of a hard heart, the spirit of sorrow, the spirit of lying, the spirit of anger. Now, some of us might find that we are being controlled by some of these spirits as we go through this list. The spirit of judgment, the spirit of burning, the spirit of a deep sleep, the spirit of heaviness, the spirit of gods, small g, the spirit of whoredoms, the unclean spirit. And then we get to Mark chapter 19, and I want to talk about this spirit right here. Let's go to Mark chapter 9 and look at verse 17 through 27. I just wanted to give you a picture of what this spirit by themselves can do. The dumb spirit. Mark chapter 9 and verse number 17. This is the story of the dumb and deaf spirit who came upon this child from the time he was born. Later, Jesus would cast this spirit out of this young boy. But here's the story. Mark 9, verse 17 through 27. We're going to look at seven verses. I'm just going to go ahead and read this. It says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wherever he, the spirit, talking about, taketh him, my son, he teareth him, he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pinneth away." Now, who is doing the tearing and the foaming and the gnashing? Is it the little boy or the spirit? It's the spirit within him. "I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they couldn't. He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowing and foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it has cast him into a fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and he came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose." You see the power of this spirit? We read about the foul spirit, the deaf spirit, the divination spirit, which is a spirit that can foretell. That's why you have these people who sometimes claim to be Christians. They come up and they say, hey, let me tell your future. Well, I tell you what, I believe that may be true what she just told you, but it's coming from a evil spirit. From the spirit of Satan. We read about the evil spirit, the spirit of fear and bondage, the spirit of slumber, the spirit of the world, the spirit of envy, the spirit of the Antichrist, and the spirit of error. Now we go to the good spirits. Here's the other side. Now the Bible tells us that the good spirits are constantly at war with the bad spirits. Over the soul of man, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of God, the spirit of humbleness, the spirit of grace, the spirit of supplications, of holiness, the spirit of meekness, the spirit of prayer, the spirit of mysteries, the spirit of newness, spirit of singing, the spirit of ministration, the spirit of blessing, the spirit of faith, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation. The spirit of glory, the spirit of truth, and the capital S spirit of life, the spirit of prophecy. And then we read, this is the last verse we're going to look at, 1 John 4:1. If you're a Christian today, or maybe you're not, listen to what this verse says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Sometimes you wonder, why am I so confused? Why am I running and confused? And what is happening with me? And who am I? That's when I believe that you have good spirits and bad spirits pulling you apart. Literally at war over your soul, at war over your will, and at war over your heart and for your attention. It's a constant battle. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, praise God, I know who will deliver me, Jesus Christ. And he does deliver us. And he will deliver us, and he will continue to deliver us, the Bible says. Okay, that's it. Very good. Sorry, it's a long message. But I hope you understood, you get a little bit of a grasp what the spiritual world is all about.